With the 79th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the New York J-E-T-E Jets select Ardarius Stewart, receiver, Alabama.
Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, presented as always by me, Undies. I'll tell you about those in a little bit. We have a lot to get to. Back from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I have declared it one of the Keystone State's three best cities. So congratulations on that honor. Philadelphia, we are chock full of talent, ready to break down the draft. Here in Studio 66, we'll say proper hellos in just a minute. Matt Moneysmith, handsome Hank Hodgson, Cynthia Freeland, also Cynthia Freeland.
Also.
I don't think you understand, Freeland, that if this were a sitcom or this were a movie,
yes,
that's a special category that's carved out for you, because it's like you get through above the line, as they say, above the title names, you know, like Dameshek is that, you know, and that's the only person who gets above.
Right.
Well, actually, it's embedded.
It's in the title. So probably wouldn't even be.
Not even need.
It's not
Dave
Seinfeld
Dameshek
starring Jerry Seinfeld.
You're
it's
right.
Just Seinfeld.
We don't need that.
It's just
Dameshek. But then we go through the other stars. But then there's the special place.
Right.
Like, have you ever watched the Happy Days intro? You remember the Happy Days? There was a TV show, Cynthia, long before you existed here on the Big Blue Marble, called Happy Days, you see. And it was a very popular program. And at the end, they would go through everybody. It was the Fonz and, you know.
And the little records.
Yeah, and that record. And then at the end, a special category, and starring Tom Bosley. What was his name? Tom Bosley?
Yeah, Tom Bosley.
Yeah, is Mr.
Cunningham.
So that's
I'm
how you
basically
are.
Basically,
Tom Bosley. It's what
no,
you're
no,
right.
No, no, no. You're the special
and
star.
You're the Father Downey mystery.
Sometimes
of the
they do it with
football program.
And guest star.
Right.
Here she is, a special category. Her face spinning in the record, Cynthia Freeland. I don't know why I almost did an English accent.
You started.
I started.
And backed off.
I want to talk about the city of Philadelphia. I want to talk about it all. First things first, mazel tov, and well done, Matt Moneysmith. Great job steering things here in Culver City.
You as well, sir.
California. Nah, that was usual.
You know, the interviews. That's the tough thing, man. These kids are freaking out emotionally, and you got to sit down and try to corral them and ask questions that they're going to answer. You got people screaming in the background. I thought it was a bang-up job, Dave.
No, you did great steering that. That's a hard gig to sit there. You, Eisen, and those guys who are sort of anchoring that spot and managing all the
mechanics,
traffic and people talking in your ear
move the
whole time.
Move the show.
Anyhow, we'll do the intros and everything else. Just real quick, though, let's just spin around. This is what everybody likes to talk about after a draft. We may as well not avoid it ourselves. Freeland, I start with you. You're a big winner, or if you have seven winners, go ahead and list
team
them
or
off
player.
Here. Team, and we'll dig in further, but I just want to get just a little appetizer. You know, like when you're waiting in line.
Sweat my whistle a little bit.
Yeah, and they come around and they give you the little
amuse-bouche.
Amuse-bouche.
Right. We talked about this the other day.
But I mean, when you're waiting in line at a good restaurant, they bring you the little like piece of cake.
Amuse-bouche.
An amuse-bouche.
Right. An amuse-bouche.
Don't tell me about amuse-bouche.
Do you know what it means, Dave?
Amuse-bouche.
Amusing bite.
Amuse your mouth. It's something to just amuse your mouth. Your mouth might be like, I am bored and I want to get out of here. But then they'll amuse your mouth with something. You'll be like, oh, this is fun. I'll stick around.
Excuse me.
That's what she did.
Yeah.
Amuse-bouche.
Oh, Dave.
Hey,
all right,
speaking of inappropriate comments taken out of context, we were visited by our pals from Game Day Morning, or one half of – I'm sorry, Good Morning Football. I don't know why I always confuse those two titles. But anyway, Good Morning Football's Kay Adams – and Kyle Brandt, gangbuster stuff, widely popular show. A lot of people have listened to it.
It's like when Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley kind of cross-promoted
right
there for a minute.
Precisely. Yep. Kyle Brandt said this, as a matter of fact.
Since there's like a 0.5% chance my wife is listening, like an astrophysicist, I'll put sex in the one hole.
Okay.
That's my Miles Garrett.
No. No, see, no, you have to cut that Bartlett behind the glass. I don't want the context.
Yeah,
I
you
want
have to
it
take
out
the
of
context
there
out.
I'll take that in the one hole. You understand?
I'll take sex in the one hole.
I'll take sex in the one
that's
hole.
What that's what you're looking for.
That's it. Right.
That's we're trying to humiliate Kyle. Is what we're trying to do here.
To the matter at hand.
I'm not humiliating Kyle.
Freeland, do it. go. Your team took Jaron Davis. I think that's a great pick, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
I don't know why some people seem unenthused about that.
No, I think that's a great pick, but I don't think they won the draft.
Okay, who did?
The Niners.
The San Francisco 49ers.
That's a good draft.
You were excited about that?
I mean, they essentially got the player they wanted at number two. One pick later, they added a bunch of pieces that they needed. They got
use that fourth round pick they added to jump up and get Reuben Foster.
It'll
be a great pick.
Honestly, like, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, to me, like, sometimes people think analytics is only about, like, having more picks. It's about having the picks that you want, your strategy. So if you think you're getting, and I saw a lot of accounts that said that Reuben Foster was, I think, their number three player on their big board. If you're getting your number three player in this, I mean, come on. Trade back up to get him. That's great.
I thought.
And I love the way they humiliated the Bears after the draft, too. But John Lynch really is like, yeah, we thought they were going up to get Solomon Thomas. When
that's
the team
the
you trade with assumes that you're making the trade to take their player and then you don't, and they're like, oh, that's interesting. It really does point
why
out.
Why would you do that, by
yes,
the way?
Questions that'll never be answered.
I've heard rumors that they thought that the Browns were also trying
to. Oh, no, I didn't mean it literally. The Niners would be saying, wait, what do you guys think?
The visual of, like, Lynch with the phone in his hand over the mouth part looking at Shannon.
Oh, my God.
Should I wait, like, 5 more seconds? Hold on. Kyle's freaking out. All right, we'll do the deal.
What does it say about, or is it just an indictment of pace, or what, or about people who are making these decisions that a newbie like John Lynch could come in riverboat gamble you right out of
that's a Stanford man, John Lynch. You know, that's the brains at work right there.
I think they actually took a class together, Solomon Thomas and
they did.
Yeah, so a class together. So
ballroom dancing.
If they really truly thought someone was going to try to take Mitchell Trubisky and they really truly wanted him, then they go up. The thing that I want people to stop saying, and I'm going to get on your Mount Pies, whatever, stop saying, in 5 years, if he's a starting quarterback, we'll all be whatever. Like, got it. That's about true of every single draft pick ever. Like, don't ever say that again to me. I'll poke my eyeballs out if I hear.
Well, it's also the same thing as, I mean, everybody experiences this in their fantasy drafts every late August too, is somebody is enamored of one guy and they draft him in the second round. It's like, hey, great pick. That guy, no matter what, would have been there in the eighth round. So if I don't care if he succeeds or not, it still isn't wise based on the slot that you're grabbing him.
You could have gotten him for the same without giving up anything.
Exactly. That's
at number three. It's likely that he would have been there at number three.
Hey, he ends up being an all-pro quarterback.
Shush.
No, it still will be bad because you didn't need to give away everything else to get him. That's exactly
especially one pick. If they'd gone up 10 picks, then you give away that stuff. And then you think, okay, you really had to go out there and do
then you're
that.
Like, well, I
but
don't
one
think number
pick,
three would
ultimately, like the 49ers had made. Did anyone in this room buy? I get that they spent the entire week before talking about how much they like the quarterbacks. Did anyone buy that?
No. Fake news.
No, I did buy the idea though that the Browns were interested in him and were interested in trading back up. I did buy that. You know,
I didn't believe they would trade back up to two though.
Yeah. So I think that's that. Now that you know, I guess to not necessarily push back against what you're saying, I do think that that's the way that Ryan Pace will play it. Is look, we felt like we had to get him. We had to eliminate. And
I'm
not saying I agree with what they did or the pick they made, but his point will be we believe that the Jets were willing to trade up, that the Browns were willing to, and we wanted to make sure we knew that pick was up for auction. And
I totally
that's all we
separate to that pick. Put all of that stuff aside. What about Mike Glennon? Why did you go and spend the money on Mike Glennon in free agency? Yeah.
Great mentor for the quarterback.
Room.
No. I mean, I've heard like a lot of great things. People want to play with him, like free agents calling up teams being like, hey, I want to play with Mike Glennon,
really?
Things like that. He has this
I don't have a job. I want to play with Mike Glennon.
I don't know. I've heard a lot of great things. I don't know. To me, I don't think any of it's bad. I just think maybe, you know, when you're kind of navigating these fake storylines, like it felt more real to us that we didn't think that. I mean, I didn't hear – I believed Solomon Thomas was going to.
Let me say this, a few things. First of all, about the Bears are a little bit, I think, in Football America's perception at large about teams that can never land a quarterback. People, I think, target more the Browns and the Jets, and I know money coming from Chicago and Freeland, you're an NFC North wonk as well, so you're fully aware of these things. But I think people forget the Bears a little bit, but Jim McMahon's the best quarterback they've had.
What does that say? And he was pretty,
or Jay Cutler.
And he was pretty average.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you can go back to Sid Luckman and play, Sid Luckman and play that game. But
this is an unresolved issue for that transcends all our lives, and not just yours, Freelance, even oldies like Handsome,
Vince Evans,
Money
Mike Tomczak, Jim
Tomczak
McMahon
is the one for me. Tomczak
Moses Moreno,
best.
Steve Stenstrom, Cade McNamara. I mean, think about that list. It's an insane.
You
it
left
is
out Cordell.
Cleveland. Yes.
Rick Meyer.
Right. Rick Meyer that you traded at first. The number 9 overall pick, I think, is what they traded to get Rick Meyer. It is a Browns-esque list.
It absolutely really is. And I don't think it's a coincidence. Maybe you can talk me out of this opinion, but I really don't think it's a coincidence that those three teams that I just named, who probably are, maybe I'm forgetting another franchise, but those are the three that just cannot solve their quarterback situations. And it seems not a coincidence that they're the ones who are always trying to get the
freaking out.
They always go crazy, and instead they don't do the staid and sensible thing of not getting seduced by their need and instead waiting for the right situation. Yep. Reaching for Mitch Trubisky, played one season. This guy
weird.
Is absolutely – you got to have – this is it. This is what's going to solve the whole thing. It seems a little optimistic, in my opinion, instead of looking at how the teams that succeed drafting the best player available. This is the way to go year after year. When you know in December that there's
either,
no though. Quarterback worthy yeah. of the first and second
that
overall
either.
Pick.
I think you create a strategy and you execute. It just seemed like they changed strategy mid-course.
What franchises draft for need season to season? As opposed to drafting best available that are successful.
But
the idea then you trade to the position to get the need that most closely. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's a little bit of both. I don't think you just take the best available. Like, you know
the most interesting
really
part of it
receiver.
For me was hearing Mitch Trubisky. Well, was I think the disorganization of the whole thing.
Yes,
Mitch Trubisky, like, I never met with them outside of the combine.
I didn't have a workout with them.
I didn't meet the quarterback coach, the offensive coordinator.
John Fox. Wait, who are we taking?
What?
Right.
I didn't know we were taking that. That would be a little alarming to me if I were the owner of the Bears and they were like, oh, so the general manager didn't talk to the coach and the kid never worked out with our offensive coordinator or quarterback coach. So
they've also got a weird situation there where they're one of two teams that so Ryan Pace came from the Saints. The Saints pay their guards more than their tackles. They've got a unique quarterback with different. He's a little shorter. He's more mobile. So they pay more for guards than tackles. That's atypical. Everyone else in the league pays more for tackles than guards, except Chicago. Now that's super weird because Glennon is very tall and he can see over that, but he's not super. At least I've never seen any evidence of him being really mobile quarterback. And then you have Mitchell Trubisky, who is a little bit more normal sized in terms
of 6'2" and change,
whatever. Right? Like a normal sized quarterback. But I haven't seen a ton of evidence that he's super mobile either. And you have this guards more than tackle strategy. It seems like it's like a little bit of this, a little bit of this. I don't know the whole thing. I've never seen their whole, their internal workings, but it just seems like a disjointed strategy that changed course, and that's what seems odd.
A couple, right. That is an interesting little bit of dysfunction given the what your roster, the strong suit of your roster. And I do think either way, like we've been talking about for 2 months now, I do think that roster is kind of ready to succeed, relatively speaking.
But who are the wide receivers?
Well, that was what I was just about to say here. Built the way they are. John Fox, year 3, that defense was showing signs. To me, clearly, you talk about best player available. Well, then you should have taken Jamal Adams.
Solomon Thomas or Jamal
just
Adams.
Just make that defense dominant or close to it, at least. Especially, I know people always say this, but it is relevant in your – if you're going to draft for need, draft for the perennial problem for your team, which is Aaron Rodgers. Draft to combat the best player in your division. One.
Jamal Adams would have been nasty in the NFC North. Yeah. I would have been like, oh, my goodness.
Or,
stay away.
Or if you are going to draft need – who's your favorite receiver at there, Bears? Go get that. Now if Kevin White comes back, or how about O.J. Howard? How about go get O.J. Howard and give Mike Glennon a chance to succeed with Jordan Howard?
I love the tight end they picked. Adam Shaheen.
And by the way,
out of Ashland, he's a great pick. 6'6", giant guy, huge red zone target. I actually think they did a great job.
The interesting thing about the trade, too, is that, I don't know if any of you heard this, but there was some scuttlebutt going around that the Bears had really fallen for Christian McCaffrey. That even though Jordan Howard had this great year that they envisioned, okay, we get a kick returner, a punt returner, we can play him all over the field, and pairing him up with Jordan Howard is really – so when they made that trade, and this is what's funny, and obviously I didn't watch the ESPN coverage, and I was able to rewatch
Solomon Thomas.
Our – so
I don't think they even did it this year. They didn't have enough people.
when – oh. When the trade was made.
Oh, dang.
When the trade dang. Was made.
What, that's me.
That's,
that is mean spirited.
When the trade was made.
That's so mean for our, to say something mean about the world.
For our NFL.com coverage, I'm sitting in the room with Bucky Brooks and Lance Zierlein. On our NFL Network coverage with Mike Mayock and Daniel Jeremiah and Charles Davis and Rich Eisen. And, I have not seen the Evil Four Letters coverage or the playback of it, but not a single person, when you think about the haul that was given up, surmised that, well, this has to be for a quarterback. If you're giving up 2/3 and a fourth to move up one spot, obviously not a single person went down that path. We're like, I said, really that much for Jamal Adams? Man, that seems like a lot. And then they're like, you know, maybe it's Solomon Thomas. They know they liked him. You put him on the line with, I mean, that's it. And then all of a sudden the pick comes and everyone is just gobsmacked, dumbfounded. And Bucky leaned back in his chair, mouth agape. And I said, Bucky, you're going to have to say something here.
This
he's like, I'm still processing this.
He's like, talk
about the 5 years. In 5 years, if.
Oh,
in
if you 5 years, say that to me again,
here's the much more likely thing. 5 years from now, the Bears look back and say, I can't believe we passed on Jamal Adams. And in the meantime, talk about drafting best available. John Lynch probably, you know, I think a little too much made out of like, well, he's a defensive guy, so he's drafted defense.
No, stop it.
But I think, talk about, they are. That's already a position of strength for them, but to double down, triple down now, I mean, they should be nasty at least defensively.
To just piggyback, I guess, on before we get off the 49ers thing, you know, anybody that outside of those that specialize in the draft that pretends like they know who all these players are, they don't.
Of course.
You know, I know a lot of the Pac-12 guys, you know, because that's pretty much what I cover, and I do some play-by-play of Pac-12 teams. So when it comes to the 49ers, I can speak to Solomon Thomas, how dominant he was in the Stanford game that I called. But the player that really stands out to me from that draft that separates them, because I didn't like the Beathard call, the play at all, that I did not understand, at quarterback, is Joe Williams. And for people that aren't familiar with Joe Williams' story, had some issues, made his way out to Utah, quit the team. Their starting running back gets hurt. They're off to a great start. Kyle Whittingham, who's one of the best coaches and one of the most liked coaches, calls him up, says, Joe, come on, man. We need you. Our running back's down. Can you come back? Comes back to college football and just puts on a show and is freaking great. And I am so interested for a head coach that is coming from an offense that featured both Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman to now have Carlos Hyde and Joe Williams back there and just this punishing
boy
attack.
Great call.
That's gonna be a really cool
great call
one.
And Reuben Foster, I'll just
Reuben
say
Foster's
from the
awesome.
Steelers perspective, I was sure knowing that they wanted Jaren Davis, I was sure it was going to be Reuben Foster there, and instead they go Teage Watt. We'll see how that works out.
Teage.
I was like, I thought the Lions could maybe get Reuben Foster, and I was like, because it would be so exciting. And then they took Davis, and I was happy. Don't get me wrong. I was
well, our
happy
pals Ike and Maurice are sold on Davis.
I agree.
No.
But
no,
I
they're
wanted,
not sold
like,
on Davis. Yeah.
I wanted someone – I wanted for my Lions, I wanted like angry. Foster's like a different –
I'll say anger. Winners because they didn't fall prey like the Bears did this year. Kudos to the Browns and Jets for not doing what they do almost every year, which is reach for a quarterback and instead go best player available. It seems like the Browns –
You mean
really
to tell me
out.
That a trio of Whedon, Quinn, and Manziel is reaching? Is that what you're saying there?
Handsome, quickly, because I want to get to the intros now. Who's your winner?
My winner is my favorite player in the NFL, Octopop. Phillip Rivers, who the Chargers, instead of going to grab the guy that's going to replace him, they went all in, all the chips on Phil Rivers and got him two guards to look after him and a big receiver to throw to, which is what he does best.
Darnold, Rosen.
How? What is the state, would you say, Freeland, of the Chargers O-line? Because that's the issue to me. As long as you keep 17 clean – They're going to challenge the Raiders.
I second what he said. Right. I don't think it's even close because the Chargers are a team that we're picking in the top 10 because of injuries. The last two years, they have been hammered by injuries. If you look at the end result
talent
of those games,
those
games are within 3 points, 4 points. Those losses that they have amassed are 7 points or less in darn near 80% of them. To pick up Mike Williams, and you think of what Phillip Rivers can do with big receivers, and that guy had to go get some nasty thrown balls way off target from Deshaun Watson.
I don't understand the I would say it's a majority opinion that people are knocking Mike Williams. He's going to be great.
He's going to be
fantastic. Wait. It's a little chicken, a little egg about Clemson, right? So Deshaun Watson, those receivers ran routes that are like, like, you know, street ball routes. Like, they weren't precise. They weren't clean. Because you know what? When you're Mike Williams, you can jump higher than everyone else. You kind of don't have to.
He's Dez Bryant. So, they're not 50-50 balls. They're 80-20 balls, Mike
right,
Williams. That's what those balls are with that guy.
His jump ball percentage was better than anyone else's in this class. Yeah. And then if you look at – so, like, Deshaun Watson, everyone knocks all those interceptions. He had 17. But look at obvious passing downs, third and 10-plus, right? Third and 10-plus, no interceptions, three touchdowns, which is usually maybe one you see for other quarterbacks, and, like, something like 400 yards in that situation. So, like, to me, it's a little chicken and a little egg on first or second yeah. down when they were throwing, because you kind of are.
And I love that you asked about the offensive line, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, Forrest Lamp, Dan Feeney.
Yep.
Feeney's nasty.
Really good.
He is nasty.
Those Forrest Lamp.
Hoosiers.
So, exactly.
Other Hoosiers.
Your favorite college football team.
No,
your alma mater.
Second favorite. Second favorite.
It's your alma mater.
What's your first favorite?
The Pitt Panthers, represented by James Conner. Everybody's
yeah, exactly.
favorite story in the 2017 draft.
It is a fantastic
draft.
Story.
It is great. He gets to stay in Heinz Field. How great.
So think about the Chargers, right? When you look at their average points per game, their offensive production, and you ask about the offensive line, that offensive line's been terrible. I mean,
right.
from on paper when you look at it, and yet Phillip Rivers is throwing for 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns,
right.
and now they sign Okun. And you can say whatever you want about Russell Okun and Matt Slauson at center, but
still
Barksdale at the other they're all upgrades. You plug these two rookies in at guard.
Watch. Dave's been calling for this one, and now the draft double down. The Raiders are going to have a real challenge
yep.
in the AFC
they sure
West.
Are. Mm-hmm. They sure are.
All right, now
all right,
let's get to it. We'll dig
right,
in further.
All right.
We're not. That's not it.
We're not done.
And here's the other.
Okay.
I got more news for you too. I got a message for you, Capitals. I got you do that to the best
boy.
Player in the world. You yeah. think that's the way to win a series? Jaden the
hit.
Devil.
Was it clean?
Which one?
You know it.
Which of the seven hits?
You know it was clean.
All right. Listen, let's say hello to people properly. We'll start off with our main man seated. Handsome Hank. MVP talking in the microphone. Did you have a good time, MVP, in Philadelphia? You got to be with your fella. You got
yes.
with your family.
You met her fella?
No. She's
not introduced.
He didn't.
No.
Bartlett
not
met
her
him.
Way. Bartlett met him. Handsome Devil Bartlett?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, that was a hesitant. Yeah, wow.
Level,
I mean, I'd be upset with that.
He's a good-looking fella.
Who's?
I have very high standards for MVP. So
who feels based on your eyeball test there, Bartlett? Who is the lucky one of the two out of that? You know what I mean?
Oh, he is all the way.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Well played.
Good answer.
I appreciate it.
See, that was
I'll give you the family feud.
That was a test. Yes, that's right, Hannah.
Good answer.
As I advise you, the pro tip in life, when people ask you hypotheticals, would you ever run into a burning building to save someone's little kitty? Like, yeah, of course I would. Of course. No one's actually saying, well, good, because there's a burning building right behind you.
Now get
on. Well, check. You should check first.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, do look over your shoulder.
Do look around
before.
And make sure there aren't any burning buildings.
Always say what's going to please the people in the room. Come on, make yourself look good, right?
Well, when that happens, though, you just run away.
Yeah.
Just take off in the other direction. You'll never see those people again.
Yeah, and just to be safe, push them into the fire.
There's
no way.
After you.
Good luck. Yeah. Good luck. The dead men tell
no
tales. All right, let's say hello to one half of the best radio show in all the land, the Petros and
stop
Money Show on 570 AM in LA or on iHeartRadio. It's Matt Money Smith.
Skinny legs, a golden voice, a play-by-play analyst. Matt Money Smith, got bad eyesight. He's a Chicago guy.
Boy, that song really
took off, right?
Is much better
yeah.
now that the one man house,
well done.
Dick Banks, went in there and you know, made it a little more raw.
Yeah.
Raw.
We had the thing you missed out on in Philadelphia, Money. We did have cheesesteaks. The night
okay.
we landed, the guy picked us up and said, like, "When you guys need steaks, I'll call them in. We'll pick them up on our way." And we had them in the car. I mean,
oh, that's great!
11 minutes of being in Philadelphia.
Well, how do you take your steak?
Well, I followed the lead of Colleen Wolf, native to Philadelphia. She said, you got to get American with, and that's
yeah.
what I did. And what was fascinating is what really makes it sing
And, you know, I've been cynical because I'm from the left side of the Keystone State, a.k.a. the right side. You know, I mean, you know.
It's the left, but it's the right.
But it's the right.
Left sure. is
city.
Right.
Right. You know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So, I don't want to love Philadelphia, and I do give it high marks. Beautiful city. What a really the architecture is wonderful there, and the row housing is great. Really makes you feel like you're in a Rocky picture. But what's weird is the cheese. It blends with the bread.
It does.
You can't distinguish the two.
That's why you get it. That's why you get the American. It melts better.
It just goes all. It's infused into the bread by the time you consume it.
And you got to go with.
The only downer of the Philadelphia experience for me really was everybody kept saying you got to go to the something terminal.
Reading Terminal.
Reading
I spent
Terminal.
A lot of time there.
Handsome, you and I were supposed to go.
You turned me down thrice.
I'm a busy man. And no, so I did try to run there. And as I literally walked in the door, they were pulling all the
things.
It's you know, it's like a food court, a grand food court. So I didn't get my roast pork, which means I now
did
have to
get
go
it
back.
For you.
And?
It was delicious.
With broccoli rabe?
Broccoli rabe, hot peppers, and cheese.
Holy hell. Mm. I'm sad I missed that. Handsome,
I'd be too.
We did squeeze in a Wednesday night, just to update everybody. We did continue our
culinary tour.
Our culinary tour across Football America. We snuck one in after rehearsal on Wednesday night. We ran off, and then all of a sudden Ike Taylor was in on it. Colleen Wolf, the four of us went
Many
out.
Great stories were shared.
I mean, too many to tell. Amis and a nice little Philly neighborhood there, right out, you know,
means friend, and that's really what it was about.
What was that last part?
Ami.
Oh, Ami.
The word
yes,
Ami,
French.
Which is the name of the restaurant we were at,
gotcha.
Means friend.
Did you order a $200 bottle of Bordeaux, have like a Bordeaux there and have like half a glass? And then you say, all right, are we ready to go then? Wait a minute. The bill just came, and it says that this wine you picked out, Hank, was $200, and now you just want to leave?
I had half a glass.
We had half a bottle left when you were ready to pull up steaks out of that Texas steakhouse.
I don't know if you remember, we had already had one of
Bring
those
us your finest.
Already.
That's
Bring
exactly
us your finest
what it was.
What's your most expensive bottle?
It was the second bottle.
It was the second
and he's
bottle.
Pulling up steaks and ready to leave. I'm like, what are you doing?
I was going
to
take it with me.
No,
the
you
road,
were not. You
roadie.
Were getting out of there. I made you drink it standing up.
I'm a classy continental sort, so be sure you bring us your most expensive
right.
bottle.
Two bottles.
Times two
bottles.
If you would.
You liked it.
Squid. Now
I liked it less when I noticed we were leaving after we got the bill and they were $150 a bottle.
My pounds
scale
stay
back already.
In my pocket.
I have.
In my trousers. Well, I'll defer for payment to my much
yes.
What?
My more affluent American pal.
That is not what happened. But thank you, Dave, for making up a little
Let's
story.
Say hello to him now.
Yeah.
No,
all
don't.
The way from London, England.
That's not.
He is our resident Miami Dolphins fan who somehow didn't make a lot of noise. It's weird. I don't have a sense of that draft. Maybe we can shed some light on it here going forward on today's episode.
That's fair.
It's Handsome Hank.
I think it's a good draft.
Thanks.
Handsome, what was your favorite anecdote Ike shared that night?
All right, on to Cynthia.
Well, I know it had to do with related to wine, how the corks from wine bottles are a good way of telling the quality of the wine.
Ah, yes.
Yes. Compared to the bottle itself.
Well done.
Call me whatever you want to call me, just don't call me Collect.
I won't.
Is that Collect with a K?
Yes.
That's how he likes it.
Yep.
And then from Motor City, she's our resident Lions fan and our, fancy numbers.
I think the best way to describe her is she's our also.
I'm the also.
She's our
she's
also.
Always here to synthesize it for us, everybody. Here she is, Cynthia Freeland.
It's Marianne's daughter here to steal the show. Back in the day, she had a mullet with the funky flow. Running marathons for her fitness goals. On the DDF. She got the stat control. Cause when it comes to the numbers, she's a gunslinger. She do the math in her head, she don't count fingers. No one to question the numbers, she'll waste to you. She's from Michigan, yo, it's Cynthia.
I would like to point out that one of the two receivers, those are two SD receivers that are in my
in your
intro
video for those.
Yeah, one's a Raider and the other one's a Lion.
How about that?
Yep.
Really? So, who are they?
And I actually ran faster than both of them. So
who were they?
I should be in the league. One is Isaac Whitney, and then the other one I'm going to need some help with.
I didn't see him. I had no idea.
Just
I was
signed
not
with the Lions.
Attention.
Come on. It's come
by
back
the way,
to me one
some
second.
People, you know, this thing, as I always say, accuracy is important at quarterback position, but I think it's a little overstated. I am not saying it's irrelevant, but some of the best quarterbacks
Daquan
in the 21st
Hampton.
Century.
Oh, Daquan Hampton.
Mm-hmm. NFL quarterbacks don't have to be lethally accurate. Yes, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are and were, but that's certainly not the chief virtue of Cam Newton or Ben Roethlisberger, and they've made out all right. So, too, hear me now, believe me later, will Deshaun Watson. Watch out for Deshaun Watson in the NFL. He's the best quarterback.
Yeah,
I have a
you.
Pretty good little track record. Handsome, back me up.
Oh, boy, every time. This
when I
happen.
Declare who's going to be the
got
best
a good
quarterback.
Track record.
Let's go
do
through
declare.
It. Let's go through it.
Derek Carr.
Zach Mettenberger.
Zach Mettenberger.
You were all over the Mettenberger
oh,
train. What's his name?
Keep going. Keep
what's
going.
His
who
name?
Are you talking
the
about?
Other Texan quarterback whose alarm clock doesn't work.
Ryan Mallett.
Ryan Mallett.
Yuck.
Another
one
of your
yuck.
Another one of
yuck,
the guys
yuck,
that you
yuck,
picked
yuck,
out
yuck.
a
He's
long time ago.
Player.
Go ahead.
Yep.
Keep going.
I said Jay Cutler would win the NFL MVP
you
5 years ago
MVP.
In that game.
It's not 5 years ago, it's 3 years ago.
No, it was when the Steelers went 8-8.
That sounds like a pretty good track record.
But carry on. But you sorry, you blow your trumpet. I want to hear what you were about to
trumpet.
Say.
Well,
trombone.
Before the Steelers drafted
or
in
like
2004, before 2004 draft, I did say Roethlisberger would be the best.
That's because it was the Steelers.
I just said before the Steelers drafted him, you creep.
That's not
Blake
what
Bortles.
I heard.
Blake Bortles. Oh, he reminds me a lot of Ben Roethlisberger.
Hey,
he's going to be the man.
He's got his. He. They picked
I like
his
this
fifth
guy
option,
a lot.
So you know.
I said Jameis over Mariota. That's still up in the
he
air.
He does. Okay,
so you're maybe
you.
Maybe 40.
The only,
oh
let me
goodness.
Just say something to you.
Wait a minute.
Let me just
Shaq,
tell you something.
He
doesn't
Shaq,
respect
this is worth,
you.
I think this is worth interrupting you. I believe we have a special present for you.
I'm.
Oh, yeah?
We'll get to it in a minute. But I want to say this to you.
He doesn't respect you.
The Blake, here's why you must, like anybody else's.
What?
What? Listen, if these professional scouts whose careers are devoted to evaluating players
sure.
are allowed to go 40% accuracy and not be taken to task, I get to put an asterisk
yeah.
next to my quarterback
oh, no, I'm not,
projection.
Yeah, exactly. RG3 is going to change the game. What he can do is going to change the revolution.
You mean over
the NFL.
Just making, I mean, he took RG3
that
over Andrew
is
Luck.
A true, that's another
he
one
took,
as
he
well.
He took RG3 over Andrew Luck.
No, he said that no. when RG3, two games into his rookie season, what this guy's doing, every team. Oh,
you're misremembering. You're mis. Now. I said that about Kaepernick.
He's got the accent. I trust
First
the
of all, I accent. Said that about Kaepernick. And two, the larger point is, I can't. The thing I can't evaluate is what they do off the field. I what do I know what Ryan Mallett's up to? If he's, I don't know if Blake Bortles is
supposed to know.
Is absorbing the playbook properly in his free time. I don't know that. I can't tell you that physically. The eyeball.
Why else
tell
do you think a
6 everything.
Foot 4 guy with a cannon for a hose ended up going into the fourth round? I mean, of course, he had some off-the-field issues that they're Ryan
I knew
Mallett.
About that,
somebody
but I –
cut up the soundbite of a cannon
you know
for
what?
A hose because that could be taken out
Kevin
of context.
Kevin Costner has a hose.
Yeah. That was
a
me.
Cannon for a hose.
That was one of the great career highlights.
That was a great moment.
Cynthia, I asked Kevin Costner. He was doing draft day talk, and so he came on. And at the end of it, I asked him if he wanted to have a catch, and he said yes, and we did have a catch with a football. And
it's
as it
great.
Turned out
– It was great.
Boy, he could whip it. He really could. He brought it across the studio. Lethally accurate, unlike Roethlisberger, Newton, and Deshaun Watson. All right, let's get to it.
All right.
I hear tailed it at long last. I don't know
Yay!
Why. I'm the last one to
Save
do
the best this. For last.
It's my name's on the show. Why does Matt Money Smith have an intro? Why's Patrick Claybaugh?
Oh, this
you have,
is it?
You have a
this
show.
Yes,
Wait,
that's
you have an intro.
Come on,
let's
see it.
Let's hear it. Go.
Well, hi and hello, it's your old pal Dave. But do you feel right? And now he's king of the airwaves. The doctor of a must that ain't playing no games. Except the game called life. Best remember his name. Mount Pius, the righteous, but come on down. He's got original bits, yeah. Not another countdown. A tail right into, don't you know that's the truth? Only reppin' 66, yeah, Mario Lemieux. This man's a love skunk with tips for your date. He rolls 4 kids deep, you know he procreates. Well, your baby daddy shit's a lot to say. So just call him Shaq, and they take it away.
I love the procreate slide.
That's great.
I like that very much. Thank you to the one-man house band,
well done.
Dick Banks and
Dan well done,
MVP
Dick Banks.
And Bartlett and Spaghetti. Woo! Everybody putting that together.
Well done.
Cheers and kudos.
Well
I want to give a couple of quick snap notes that I just took down here. I appreciate the accuracy in representing in animation. If you're listening, of course, you'll have to we'll tweet that out for you, or we'll put it on social media so you can take your look at Damashek and beyond. But so you got the kids right. You know, you got their hair color right and everything. That looked great. It is Mario Lemieux, not Mario. But yeah, it's one of
what a jerk.
Yeah, that's on Dick, you know.
what a jerk.
Great work. Very nice. All right, so that's my note. When will we play that now going forward?
Whenever again.
All our video shows.
Never again.
Whenever we want.
That was
we'll
it.
Put
whenever
that on Twitter, call for it.
Hope you enjoyed it.
I liked it. I liked that the love skunk.
I wrote it for
there.
You, Dave.
It was very it was very DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Parents just don't understand.
Ooh, that,
that's my takeaway.
All right, let's dig into the show. Thanks very much, MVP, and the
right now we're going to start the show.
Well, I mean, dig in some a little bit further here. Let me ask you something. What's the first thing you put on and the last thing you take off? Underwear, indeed. Make your most important piece of clothing the best it can be with MeUndies. What is MeUndies? Oh, just seriously soft, feel-good undies delivered right to your door. MeUndies are designed in Los Angeles and made from sustainably sourced micromodal A fabric, 3 times softer than cotton, and they are very, very, very soft. I can assure you. MeUndies softer than soft. Luxe undies come in an ever-changing selection of classic colors, bold shades, and adventurous patterns. And guess what? You can save time and money each month with a monthly subscription. And if you're not ready for a subscription, that's okay. You can still save. That's because MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first pair. Just use our special URL, MeUndies.com/NFL2017, and get 20% off your first pair. Go ahead, revamp your underwear drawer. Once again, MeUndies.com/NFL2017, MeUndies.com/NFL2017. I did write down a note, though, to discuss ESPN. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? Freeland, you work there. Do you care? Or should we do more draft talk? What do we think? Let's take a hand.
I think a quick bit of analysis from Cynthia. I never worked there, but certainly sad to see our contemporaries no longer
employed. It's a bad day for our industry.
Yeah.
It's a bad day for our industry as a whole. When you know you see the business model changing, so I completely understand that whenever business model changes, like in any business model, you have to make cuts and you have to make. I was there in 2015. I had just kind of gotten to know some people, and they had 350 people leave, and it was gut-wrenching and horrible. I don't like the Pittsburgh Pirates because of this, because they had this consultant come around and tap people and be like, meet me in the room next to the Pittsburgh Pirates room. So honestly,
holy hell.
Yeah. It was a terrifying,
ugh. Get your playbook.
It was very much like that. That's why I'm like Pirates. Cause it's bad association. Seeing your friends go through something difficult is never easy. Seeing people, I have to give credit to a lot of people who they were flown to locations for the draft coverage, told on a morning, and then asked to do a show right after.
Why? I don't understand that. What is the thought behind that?
I think it's because they try to minimize, like, there's always going to be people somewhere. So, I don't know. But all I know is that they had a lot of class.
Could have waited a few days and then done it. Today instead of last week. That's a weird move.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, whatever. I can't opine on those decisions. That's a different podcast. And
opine on this? If Cynthia Freeland were still at ESPN until last week, would you have survived it?
Well, on one hand, probably not. Because they hired a predictive analytics person after me who wasn't renewed, but on the other hand I was kind of cheap, so maybe they keep me around because there wasn't like a big cut to their bottom line.
I don't think there's a big cut to their bottom line anyway.
Yeah,
that's my interpretation.
The thing I hated,
this is for shareholders and everybody.
Money is very smart about these things.
And moaning about
no,
it.
As much 100%. As much as my simple brain, and it gets fuzzy when math is involved,
right?
But, you know, and macroeconomics and all that. But correct me if I'm wrong. The way I've always understood it, and this was a gathering storm forever with ESPN, is that when you have cable or satellite, at this point, it is not your ability.
Basic package.
So, right. Your basic package. I am going to get blank satellite provider. You do not get to choose. Hey, can I add in ESPN? It's in whether you want it or not.
Yeah, it's bundled. And you
it's bundled, and bundled meaning that you're paying an extra, I think it, what is it?
$8.
$8?
Yeah.
$6. I thought it was $3.50.
It's $6.
No, I think it's $8 because you have to buy them all.
$8?
ESPN2 is also part of Basic. And I think ESPN6, it's two more for two.
So before I worked in the on-air capacity, I worked in a strategy capacity for Disney, and then I transitioned from Disney over to ESPN, and that's how I made the move to on-air. But so in that, the bundling includes actually you pay for Disney Junior, Disney XD, Freeform, which is ABC Family, and all of the ESPNs, and it's approximately $6.
So that's not nearly as much.
I thought it was much
less
than that.
But then you have to remember, then they just paid for a very expensive NBA contract. NFL rights are very expensive. And it was really sad to see, like, you know, that they you kind of saw them.
Well, that and may I just align. to bring that everybody up to speed who doesn't maybe follow this is, you know, the networks, the CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox, of course, don't get additional dollars.
They do.
But it's a fraction, though.
It's a fraction. It's like
the $8.
Yeah, right? it's pennies now. The way the model changed.
So that's why people remember a decade ago, 8 years ago, people's jaws were dropped. Why would ESPN be able to outbid, you know, ABC for NBA and everything else? Because they are inherently making with each person
they get money from cable, and they get money from the ads that they show on the TV. Whereas ABC, Fox, the big networks, they really only get money from the ads that they sell.
And now the double whammy is as this happens and their value drops, now those satellite providers will presumably we're not $8, forget they're $6, whatever we're dropping that fee that people are paying, right? I mean, it's not going to stay at $6 if that's what it is
in
now.
In the future, no, but like things are negotiated and then renegotiated. And the problem is that, like, it used to be, so the total cable landscape footprint in the United States, 110 homes. That's for network television, the ABCs, the Fox, the NBCs, CBS. Then for tier one cable, it used to be 99 million or so, approximately 100 million. And now that number has significantly declined.
You mentioned the rights fees that they pay, and I guess just I think the best way to maybe create it for the listener, if they don't know already, they probably do. Everybody, that's what's so funny is people consume sports.
People
business
are so
now
very sad. I love when people are worried about,
you know, before
the NBA,
we used,
NBA doesn't want that matchup.
Right.
That'll hurt rate. What do you care?
Exactly.
No,
but
no.
I think the best way to put it into context is probably the of all the layoffs they made. Right, just this, aggregate those salaries, and I would imagine it'll probably come out to maybe 5 minutes of a Monday Night Football game,
right?
Maybe
a
quarter of an NBA game. Just to put it, so it's really because the share price is struggling, and everybody. And remember, 10 years ago when they acquired ABC, and what was the narrative? This is a savvy move because they got ABC for ESPN. That's why Disney made the deal, and ESPN is the cash cow. And now that, you know, they're down what, some 12 million subscribers, I think is what the number is.
Yeah.
They're
we're slowly creeping towards that time where we transform from CDs to iTunes. But in TV, it's never going to be as fast because there's a lot more infrastructure in place and a lot more, like, you have to have internet in your house, Wi-Fi, that you could, you know, piecemeal it together, and not everyone has that yet. And, like, so the infrastructure won't allow it to be this, like, CD to iTunes transformation as quickly as the music industry saw it. But we're starting to see that.
It's taken a little
now.
Bit slower than I thought it would. I remember literally a decade ago.
But if you think about
Simmons,
infrastructure.
I remember talking to sports guy Simmons and him saying, it's going to be a few years before people standardly are listening to podcasts in their car. And I said, no. That's it. I think you're being conservative.
But
in fact, he's proven right. Yeah. You know, I think it was.
No, it's 100% right.
It wasn't until, two, three years
ago. I'd say about 2 years ago.
People started to really catch on with that. But anyhow. I mean, first of all, MVP is bored by this.
She went
here and said
sports business.
My last, just to put a bow on this really quickly, it's very sad when you know the people, but I actually think it's going to be a better opportunity for a lot of people in the long run. Because I think that a lot of the people who they're not saying, like, goodbye, we're not paying you anymore. They have to honor their contracts. It's a legal document. So they'll be able to have this opportunity to take some time. So it sucks short term, but I think that, you know, they'll get into better
policy. I'll say, and I'll add that, first of all, people are weird when they celebrate people getting fired.
They are. And if you're celebrating people getting fired,
but
you deserve to be punched.
That's weird. And also, if you think I'm making fun of anybody else, I go the other way from you. My glass is half empty on that. It's a trickle down. If that happens, happens to ESPN, then obviously
1,000%.
Yes. It that doesn't happen in a vacuum. Now
nice
those people are out looking for jobs.
Wonderful. Yeah. I'll see you.
No, it's a bad. It's
my
a sad
key card's
day.
Not working anymore.
I've been. By the way, I want to say I've been fired twice in my life. Once I was fired by ESPN, and when I was shown the door, it was done by a guy whose next job was as a medium, and he went his next job.
Yes.
After he got fired. He went on
yes,
to be
was.
A medium and went and actually would do readings at parties for you. And I really wanted to hire him to do some readings at,
yep.
At a party because that would have been fun. But that didn't happen. But the grade, I mean, you want to talk – I hate to be a one-upper, but I'm going to do it now. Getting fired, it stinks. It's embarrassing. It's, you know, you feel all alone and all that. But I defy you to get fired in favor of Danny Bonaducci. And that's what I was.
It's going to be tough to beat that.
I was fired on purpose. A company, some people got together and were like, you know what? Let's get rid of Damashek and bring in Danny Bonaducci.
What we
Who's
need
Danny
is a,
Bonaducci?
A man that wears too much cologne and dresses like a pirate. That's
Who's
what this
Danny
morning
Bonaducci?
Show needs.
Should I Google him?
You don't know who Danny Bonaducci is?
No, I don't know who that is.
Partridge Family. Danny Bonaducci. Little Danny Bonaducci with the red
great
hair and freckles.
Broadcasting talents of
a true talent. A true talent.
I got fired for Danny Bonaducci. Beat that, people who just got fired. For all of time, I win or lose. It does make for a great story.
It does.
And when I sit down with prospective employers, it does make for a great story. Like, well, I mean, how many human beings can claim that they lost out?
<Look at this. laughs>
Somebody wanted this guy more. All right, let's get back to the draft.
All right,
now.
Here we go.
Handsome.
What do we got, like
fired?
5 minutes left?
I haven't been I was kind of fired once.
That's really? Tim.
Yeah, from a job that I didn't want to. I just didn't show up anymore. And then they're like,
kind of fired yourself.
And I was like, I kind of expected that. I just didn't want to do it anymore. I was working on the
so
on the mutual. Shop floor. Yeah, I was like
shop floor.
Yeah, I was like 2 months in. I was a rug. I sold
rugs.
How many
jobs have you had in your life?
This was when I was like 18 years old, and I had finished school, and I was about to go to college, and I was told, right, go find a job, earn some cash, and I did it for about 2 months during like the Christmas type season, and they put me on rug sales, and my entire job was like they had a stack of rugs almost the same height as me, and some. Incredibly rich person would say, I want to look at the 1 second from the bottom, and I would have to flip back all these goddamn rugs, like keep going like forever and ever. And then they'd be like, yeah, no, I don't like it. And then he'd have to flip all the rugs back again. They'd go, how about the 1 3/4 of the way down? Actually, I kind of like that one. Can you go back to that one? It's like, no, I can't anymore. Sorry. So I just didn't show up any longer.
Your rug salesman is incorrigible. He's refusing to show me second from the bottom.
That was pretty much how it went.
That's right.
Emma VP is now yelling.
All right.
Back to the draft.
To the draft.
I want to say that I thought I thought Philadelphia was great. I thought it had great energy. It was fun. But I do think that the people of Philadelphia kind of have veered now into self-parody, thanks to, in part, Commissioner Goodell. Let's just take a quick listen to what Goodell and he tag-teamed with Drew Pearson to kind of embarrass the Eagles fans.
They're even booing themselves.
Hey, we thank the fans.
I was thanking you guys.
Yeah,
there you go. All right.
They're booing. In other words, Goodell cleverly got the Philadelphia Eagles fans to boo themselves. Not done, though, booing themselves. Drew Pearson taunted them a bit.
I want to thank the Eagle fans for allowing me to have a career in the NFL. Thank you. And on behalf of the 5-time world champion, Dallas Cowboys, Hall of Fame owner, Jerry Jones, Gene Jones and the Jones family, Coach Jason Garrett, all the Cowboy players that played before me, that played with me, and played after me, with the second pick in the 60th pick in the second round, the Dallas Cowboys select defensive back from Colorado, Chidobe Awuzie.
I, you know, once you start, first of all, Drew Pearson should be in the Hall of
Fame. The best.
And a lot of people don't know who he even is at this point. If you ask people who are 25, they've never even heard of Drew Pearson until that moment. But trust me, he was a great NFL wide receiver for the great Dallas Cowboys of the 70s. But once you are booing yourselves, now you have been turned into by the commish into a punchline, and Drew Pearson is now doubling down and having you boo while he taunts you with his many rings while you still have none. When are you going to stop with this business, Philadelphia? It is not a great – I get it. It's a funny kind of a thing to be known for. But when you actually cross the line into people who when people, free agents, are considering signing with one of your favorite professional sports teams and like, oh, hey, Philly's not for everybody. It's a tough sports town. The radio guys will destroy you if you're not mentally tough. Are you really helping your situation?
Remember when Carson Wentz got out of the
remember
Carson Wentz went to Philly and he steps out of the Suburban to go into the facility, and there's like Philly fans there booing him. You better be ready. You better be ready, Wentz. It's like, wait a minute. This is the guy that your team just traded up for.
Why
are you heckling him?
How is this helpful? Yes. Same goes for you, New York fans, and now Chicago fans boo Mitch Trubisky.
What are you thinking? It has nothing to do with Mitch Trubisky. He didn't force them to do the deal.
Why people? Because it goes back to my long, you know, the human condition requires everybody feels essential. Everybody has to be important in the process. And this allows an Eagle fan to feel important, that they can weigh and boo their own guys and make them feel bad about themselves. But ultimately, it's not really helping your team's success.
It's not really hurting them either, though.
I disagree. When you scare a guy to leave the city, like, oh, this is I don't want to deal with this. Oh, it'll be much breezier if I go out to San Diego and I'll just go play.
I can agree it does not help.
I'm going to go
definitely
to
does not
I'll
help.
Go play for the Padres. Nobody will care. It'll just be fine. I'll slip under the radar. Some guys like that better. And therefore, you don't want to be booing guys who are susceptible to that.
I still think their paycheck's cash, right?
Like they do clear.
Don't you be a cynic.
Unless they're the Phoenix Coyotes, then they may not.
Then they may not.
Otherwise, those checks, in fact, will clear.
Right.
All right. I mean, MVP, what's important to get to?
Yeah.
What do you want us to hit here?
We got 5 minutes.
You want to talk about some more teams?
Sure. Okay. What else? Who was the loser of the draft? We've discussed the Bears, so we can skip over them.
That was a clear loser.
Who do you feel did a poor job in the draft? And I guess we should try to stay a little focused on the higher rounds, because those are the guys, generally speaking, that are going to make the impact, as history would indicate. I mean, I love the, as I said already, if you watched him play at all, he didn't get a ton of targets at Bama, but O.J. Howard appears to me to be the real deal. I liked him. We discussed the L.A. Chargers, who I now think vault themselves ahead of the Rams in the battle for the hearts and minds of Angelino pro football fans.
I got one for you. Actually, I got two for you. I don't like what the Rams did, and I don't like what the Chiefs did. They're both right here on this page. If you're the Chiefs and you're that close – and you can certainly fill holes to put you over the top, why are you drafting a quarterback? Why are you trading up to draft a quarterback that doesn't just have bad footwork, has no footwork? And I understand that, and obviously if I'm going to bet on one coach figuring out one of these guys, it's Andy Reid. And Pat Mahomes has a giant arm, and he seems very likable, and he's a great leader. And, I mean, it just speaks to how good he is that Davis Webb was at Texas Tech. And old Kingsbury's like, yeah, sorry, Davis, I know you've been great here the last couple of years, but this Mahomes kid is really something. So have fun at Cal.
But by the way, Andy Reid has done his two best QBs that he's worked with are obviously Donovan McNabb, Alex Smith. But he's done good work with even – Detmer,
that's what I mean.
And Feely, so and so on.
But it just seems like this is
good for
this
Mahomes.
This is not a young team.
I would say, but if you're even if you're going to do it, the other thing I would say is Deshaun Watson seems like the more natural Andy Reid guy to me.
But I get your point.
I think Mahomes is like Brett Favre. I mean, if you really not saying that he's going to be Brett Favre, but if you want to think about what Brett Favre was, he was an ad-libbing, gunslinging, giant arm, tons of moxie quarterback. That's what Pat Mahomes is. There's no footwork there. He doesn't even
off-platform all the time.
And,
right? That's
but,
a nice
but
way
man,
it.
He can throw the freaking football over the mountains.
But again,
if you're the Chiefs, you're close. I mean, you are close. Why are you trying to get a quarterback?
I think they've had
Passignon, it's like, okay, if you're going to draft a kid out of Villanova, when you watch him, he sure as hell better jump off the screen. And that just wasn't necessarily there with him. So that's
– I like
the Kareem Hunt pick, though.
Yeah.
I like the Kareem Hunt pick.
The Kareem Hunt pick is really – that's a really solid pick. To me, I think maybe they kind of think like, okay, well, we're close, so let's think about our future. And our future might be, you know, Patrick Mahomes. If you can give him a year to develop under Andy Reid and, like, really not have him
I do
anything,
think,
like
– Right. That's – I think you can look at it that way, that we're really close.
But I mean, they're,
we're
but
really,
they're, but they're
are
old.
They that close?
They've got nobody on the outside. I mean, you mean to tell me if you can't –
Is it impossible that Mahomes takes snaps for the Kansas City Chiefs in 2017? I don't think it's impossible.
I don't think it's impossible. I just don't think it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, not with the limited amount of time they're allowed to work with those kids.
If they're
– He's going to need so much work.
If they're in one of those – and Andy Reid's teams have been in that position where they're, you know, they're kind of – You know, they're 3-3 or whatever in a competitive division. And, I mean, I think what is clear is I think Alex Smith can get to a Super Bowl. We've seen that. He's a Kyle Williams punt return to fumble away
right.
from getting to a Super Bowl. But if you – and that Chiefs roster is pretty close to Super Bowl ready. But I also I hate to keep cherry-picking the back-to-back plays against the Steelers in the divisional round. But there were a couple plays where they had – Artie Burns, rookie, singled up on the left side, and Andy Reid dials it up two in a row. Go at him, throw it into the end zone. He didn't come anywhere close to Macklin and then to Hill there. And that really is an indictment. You need the guy to make a play.
But
and
I don't
that
think Mahomes
limitation.
Is going to be the one that solves that problem in year one.
Not maybe, 2017. Maybe. I'm just saying that Alex Smith is probably not in – conference in 2017 that includes Brady, the Steelers built the way they are now, the Texans constructed as they are, Raiders charged. I don't think the Chiefs are going to a Super Bowl in
but
2017
defensively,
anyway.
Defensively, they're elite.
I mean, the Jay Howard replacement is not
right.
Here. Like, that's the thing I'm – like, you could have gotten a really nice replacement for Jay Howard with that first pick. I mean, he's visiting the Bears this week. But so, free agent, just not on the Chiefs. So.
Fascinating division to me, and there are a couple that fit this based on if you look at the division as a whole and what they did in the draft. One is the AFC South, that you have now all of a sudden this influx of presumably high-end talent. The Jags get Leonard Fournette. The offensive line is still going to be the issue, and Blake Bortles maybe gets a little too beaten up for how bad that O-line has been there. I might have gone, in fact, O.J. Howard. A lot of people were projecting that. I think that might have been more helpful in the short term. But either way, that defense ain't jive. So anyway, the offense should be a little bit better now.
With Fournette,
With Fournette, of course. I don't think he's your rookie of the year, though. I think Christian McCaffrey over him in that Panthers offense. Deshaun Watson, of course, to the Texans. If he does, who knows if he will, but if he can solve that sooner rather than later. And this jive about Rick Smith and other GMs around the league announced, no. John Fox, no, Mike Glennon's our starting quarterback. Like, it's not Memorial Day yet, Coach. And how many examples of this in the 21st century? Well, is that supposed to ease the nerves? How many times have we seen, I'm trying to think of an example
Tons.
Now. Flynn. Yeah, is that, I mean, a number of guys, obviously. But the rookie, the first-round rookie QB ends up getting snaps
Which
in his
one?
First season.
What
and
do you
and
think's
they're
happen?
Ready to go right now. What's
what, do you,
that?
What do you think's gonna more likely to happen? You think – I love this question. Mitchell Trubisky starts a game, or Jay Cutler.
Or who?
Currently unsigned Jay Cutler. Because you can't convince me, there's nothing you can do
Kaepernick
to convince me
too.
That there's 20 quarterbacks better than Jay Cutler.
I'm holding out hope that the Jags come to their senses it gets closer and closer. Like, we got to bring somebody.
See, if I were the Texans, I mentioned this when they drafted Deshaun, I would sign Cutler.
Yeah, with
just
that
way you do.
I wanted the
because
Lions
Deshaun
to get
he does need time. I mean, especially if Bill O'Brien is going to continue to call offense the way he calls offense, Deshaun is going to have a steep learning curve, and I would not want to put him out there that early for a team that has Super Bowl aspirations with that defense. And I know, just take care of the ball, give it to Lamar Miller.
Look at what Bill O'Brien did in 1 year with – I understand he's not playing right now, but Christian Hackenberg, when he was in his first year at Penn State, when he had Bill O'Brien as coach and so young, and he made this, like, from the first game, and it was like – Like this kind of like
he still
I understand
had those
it's
accuracy
college,
issues.
But
he still had really bad interceptions.
One
like
year.
I never
no, no, no,
got
no, no,
the
no.
whole
Hackenberg
thing.
He didn't play.
Thing.
He didn't play for. He only played for him for 1 year. Then
right.
he switched coaches. But I'm saying, I guess my point is, I think that the learning curve will be really like he'll be like, wow. This
see, like
crazy.
I know that, and it's stupid for me to buy into it, But when I look at Mahomes, obviously Alex Smith is a starter there. I mean, they've won double-digit games since Andy Reid got there with Alex Smith. Obviously, Mike Glennon is going to be the starter. They're giving him $16.5 million, and it's probably in their best interest.
Obvious.
See, I do. I just
I think that the beginning
to me, it's
season,
just common sense.
I think it's like six games, and then
well, no, anyway. I mean, I'm talking to start the season. I'm not speaking to like Russell Wilson comes out of nowhere as a third-round rookie and takes the job from what's his name? From
Matt
Touchdown
Flynn.
Or from Matt Flynn.
Flynn.
Exactly,
yep.
From Matt Flynn. I don't see that. But I think in the case of the Texans, I mean, you're really going to go with Tom Savage? Like, that's really –
I mean, if you're J.J. Watt.
That's really what you're going to do?
Right, that's exactly
that's
right.
Why I would J.J. sign Watt, Cutler, bring Cutler in, right. Let him start, and if things get bad, then you can bring Deshaun in. But give him all that time to get up to speed.
Same thing.
So
if you're Calais
you
Campbell,
say?
Like, I came over here to Jacksonville, and this, you're going to keep doing it.
Right.
Okay,
if
so
Bortles
answer
looks
it.
Lousy
Mitchell Trubisky or Jay Cutler?
That's a good question.
Who starts first?
Who plays first?
There's only one starting job open.
I mean,
in the
Trubisky
NFL,
will start if they're not in line for a playoff start in December.
Yeah, I mean,
Cutler and
Kaepernick are signing backup deals now, unless it's the Texans.
Or
that
the
is the only.
Jets.
That is the only. Let's say the Jets have McCown. You
or
know, I think
Jags.
He'll be, end up being the.
I also
starters.
Think the Jags. I'm gonna.
No, I just mean starting jobs that could be available for Jay Cutler. I think there's
I
only
think that one.
One. You think the Jags could be open week one starting job?
I
Jay
think,
Cutler.
I mean, they're not going to do it on Labor Day, but if they, you know, if they, because the book on him is, and they know it in the building. It's not a secret anymore that. Blake Bortles has struggled for whatever reason to not completely absorb what they want to do
right.
offensively. If a new regime in there sees those old traits still there, then they might say, listen, this team is built to compete right now. It's unfair to the rest of the roster to do this.
Want to hear my sort of.
Let me say one more thing.
Yeah.
Titans, though, they add the three pieces in the passing game. Marcus Mariota now. And plus, remember how they could bang you last year on the ground. Now, you think about you now give them some weapons like that. And Mariota now trying to get the ball to a guy in Corey Davis whose virtue is yards after catch. Now you think about that, you know, if you want to, you know, given the way they want to play ball, that seems like a perfect fit for that. If he can, you know, turn
yep.
some 10 yard
all I was gonna
say. Odell Beckham, it, you know, a little bit once or twice.
Yeah.
And open things up, you know, on those slants.
Yeah. So, I mean, Corey Davis is like, he did have a few drops, I think 11. I think he led this receiver class in drops, but once he had his hand on the ball, one fumble in 3 years. That's
really?
Ridiculous. It's like nothing.
And then, by the way, so while the rest of the division zigs, the Colts zag and finally address that defense. So that's an interesting play by them. I think in the AFC North, only because I started with the Steelers. And have I mentioned that I root for the Steelers?
No.
Yeah.
You do?
I do, yeah.
That's
I'm from Pittsburgh.
That's why.
I'm from that area.
Did not know that.
And that's why I was a little angry earlier about what the Caps and – but anyway, I think that
– I thought you were just a big hockey fan.
No, no. I think Crosby and company will still end up winning that one. But
who would have guessed?
I think this.
You do?
I think the Bengals probably had a good draft. I think what they did seems good to me. The pick I don't love is the first pick, the John Ross pick. I mean, just the stand next to him – he's smaller than DeSean Jackson.
Man, is he good.
I know, but he's smaller.
He is not just fast.
But
he's literally slighter than DeSean Jackson.
I think they're about – see, it's funny you say that because I think if not the same, I felt like he's a little bit thicker than DeSean.
Yeah.
He's small, but I mean, he's 5'11", probably 185.
Either way, they have an overpowering collection now of offensive talent to give to the Red Rifle, which
just protects him. You know, that's the question. You lose Zeitler and Whitworth. I mean, it was.
I guess they saw that coming because at least they have replacements in house for him. But I mean, Pittsburgh, I don't know. We'll see with T.J. Watt. I don't know why I'm so skeptical. I'm going off of the opinions of Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah and the rest there. But I certainly love the James Conner thing out of sentimentality and also practicality too. I mean, he's a banger. You know, he's good. He's not. It's not like this will go over big in Pittsburgh if we do this kind of move there. And I like Juju too. Throwing him into the mix, young kid there, and talk about if Martavis Bryant. If he's ready, handsome. What if? Let's have fun.
Just keep the Twitter war going.
Why don't you
just keep it up there, Pitt receivers. Keep it going.
Clearly humbled by his last years of life. His reaction is to taunt his teammate.
Ain't gonna be
taken
for me.
Sammy Coates.
What ain't gonna be for me?
But what if he? What if? What if?
We're talking normally.
What if?
Your expertise.
It's May 2nd.
Your expertise. May 2nd. You can pick the Steelers. Record each year where you're not ready.
I'm not ready. I don't play that game, handsome. Don't try and seduce me into giving an answer yet. I have given the Steelers
for those.
What's the science you're waiting on?
I have injuries and such. I'm not going to do that until after Labor Day. It's not coming anytime soon.
That are familiar with Los Angeles radio, Sheck's Steeler projections are Michael Thompson-esque as it relates to the Lakers. You know what I think? I think they could go 70-12 this year if things break the right way.
MVP. Please remind Matt Money Smith of Damashek's just insane accuracy when it comes to the black and gold.
Predicting the Steelers' record, a nominee for most overused Sheck bit.
That's not what I wanted. And it's dead on.
Well done, Emma.
It's not funny because it's true.
I thought it
was funny. It's scary because it's true. Damashek knows it. It's in my blood. I know exactly.
Well, come on. Do it then. Do your trick.
I don't do it in spring.
Well, tell me
when
what
the
you
season's
think.
About
way,
to start.
Where are you headed?
I'm not going to. I have nothing.
Not you just asked us to imagine. If Martavis is healthy,
you claim that this is one of your great skills, but there's only like 3 days a year you can do it. Doesn't sound like such a great skill.
Is it 5 years in a row, handsome? Isn't it?
It's incredible. I want
Matt
you
Money
to do
Smith,
it.
Yes.
5 years in a row.
You've hit it dead on.
I have given it on the nose.
On the nose. 5 years in a row?
Yes.
Apparently.
Well, that's a little bit better than my projection, then.
And 8-8, 2 years in a row.
Pretty good.
2 years in a row. I called 8-8.
All right, I stand corrected.
Pretty good.
Yeah, you do stand corrected, friend.
Friend.
You make a compelling argument, and I'm not going to argue with that.
Thank you, Mean Joe.
You are a fan.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
You are a fan.
You are a fan. Am I biased? No, because if I were so biased, I wouldn't be able to tell you what their record's going to be.
So, but you can't tell us what the record's going to be.
Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant. What if Ladarius Green's ready to go? And Eli Rogers, and Juju, and Le'Veon Bell, and James Conner.
This is the part of the show
and
where
a top
Dave
three
just
offensive
naming
line.
Players. Naming
I'm
players.
Naming. Wait, I'm just telling you the firepower.
Yelling players. Yelling Steelers players.
Bud Dupree!
138 points a game is what the Steelers should show.
Ryan Shazier!
Okay, another Pitt Panther you didn't give any love to, and I thought we were going to hear about it. The Bills pick, the quarterback. Peterman.
I was happy with that. I was happy to see that, although the Bills are such a weird
– Nate Peterman!
But what are they doing with – what are they doing at quarterback?
They're having a great – they had a good draft.
Okay, but I like the Bills and the Dolphins, but Cardell and Nate Peterman.
David DeCastro!
What are they going to do with Tyrod Taylor?
When's Marquise Pouncey?
They're
going to
play.
Marquise Pouncey!
What about Josh? What about Josh Dobbs? Though I don't like the wonky throwing.
Josh Dobbs, shout it!
Josh Dobbs, dude, Roethlisberger. So you know he's a human. Ultimately, dude, the dude's got to go. He's gonna walk out into the pasture and be done, dude. And then what are we gonna be doing? Josh Dobbs. Now he comes in. Dude's an astrophysicist. But he has a weird throwing motion. True?
He's good.
Freeland, he's going to be a good NFL quarterback?
I have a good projection for
really?
Him.
Really?
Yep.
You money?
Mm-mm.
I don't think so. Well, I hope I'm wrong, obviously.
That's it. When you see like
I have Deshaun Watson
15
better.
Players from the Tennessee offense go in the first six rounds, and you're like, it seems like Josh Dobbs should have been throwing the ball a lot more, but they kept giving it to the running back.
But they did.
About
they went
3.5
and four?
Yards a carry.
8-4. Oh, Sully. Poor guy. Handsome, you barely spoke this
what?
Whole show.
What do you mean?
What are you busy on your laptop?
Le'Veon Bell!
I'm vice presidenting, don't you know,
I
David?
Was listening to you guys. I could talk to you about all manner of things.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Are you excited about what the Dolphins did?
Yeah,
then we have to wrap it up.
I don't want to upset Emma, and I know Money's been here all day. We can talk about it another time. We've got the whole off season ahead of us, stretching forward until the Hall of Fame.
That's true.
I'll give you three words then, Hank.
Mm-hmm.
Raekwon the Chef, baby.
I know.
Yeah,
that's four
exciting.
Words. Because I put the baby in. I just love Raekwon the Chef.
I think it's a great
name.
It's the best.
I think it's great.
Sometimes boring drafts are the best.
It's amazing that it's taken so long for a Raekwon to make it to
right?
the
NFL.
Let's just, come on. I say it all. This is going to be something you'll hear, Handsome, over these next few months. Come on, Bills and Dolphins. Come on. For America. For the good of football. Do something. Be competitive.
I think they both have
Make Tom Brady have to work for it. Let's not just kiss him in August into one of those top two seeds in the AFC. Let's have him get some actual competition four times from two teams in the division so they don't just roll over the
6-0 in division. 6-0.
You know, may oh the Dolphins beat them. Oh, they're competitive with them. Oh, they went 5-1 in the. How about a real test for Brady and company?
Yeah, it really was.
All right,
we have more to talk about.
All right.
Fortunately, we have nothing but real estate.
Jesse James.
You know what else I want to do? We have to talk about
Landry Jones.
Make your fun. Nobody's gonna be laughing.
No.
The Steelers gonna be average 138 points a game.
That I will not laugh at. That'll be wildly entertaining.
That would be fun to see, wouldn't
wildly
it?
Wildly entertaining. Yes.
All right, let's hope it happens. All right, Emma VP, you want me to wrap the show up? You know what, though?
Hit the post. Hit the post.
I'm not. It's too late. I can't hit the post. I'm not a pro's pro like you. Give me the song one more time so I can try it here. All right, so for Matt Money Smith, Handsome Hank Hodgson.
Also.
And co-starring Cynthia Freeland.
Yeah.
Emma VP, Spaghetti, Bartlett, everybody behind the glass, the professor. Somebody back there is hoping for a ring, too. That's all I'm going to say about that. We'll talk about that perhaps on the next show.
Mike
Until then,
Tomlin.
Thin slice of heaven.